Well, good afternoon. Good evening, actually, because I've had to wait. There was an expected thunderstorm, and I don't want to be interrupted by lightning killing my power, but that was a fortunate thing because yesterday afternoon, I've created a new interconnect cable between my kit preamplifier that I built many years ago for my best microphone and other microphones. And this is my best microphone that I'm using right now. It's called the Beyer MC740N multi-pattern condenser microphone. It's set on omnidirectional right now, and I'm using it for the first time in these videos, in these daily videos that I make every day. But I want to correct, first of all, Peter Cetera is the name of the songwriter I was talking about previously. Not Cetera, not Ketera, Cetera. Not Ketera either. Peter Cetera is the way to pronounce his name. He was a member of the band Chicago. Today I have a song by the band Chicago. That's right. I haven't done this. Okay. I haven't done these other preparations yet. We're going to look at Carl Jung. So we randomly just pick one and find out what happens. People will do anything, Carl Jung said, no matter how absurd, to avoid facing their own souls. That sounds rather true, doesn't it? Little ones. Next. Oh, look at this. I have not seen this. I didn't select this. It just happened to be on this particular. There it is. Confucius said, by three methods we may learn wisdom. This is unbelievable that it happened to be set on this. I did not choose this. It shouldn't choose a random spot when I reboot the computer, but it doesn't normally, but it did here. Confucius said, by three methods we may learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is noblest. Second, by imitation, which is easiest. And third, by experience, which is the bitterest. Powerful, beautiful words of Confucius. The Chinese philosopher Confucius. That's who that was. Mark Twain. I just randomly select something. Well, look, I randomly selected the same one that we had yesterday. What are the odds of that? Here is the one for today. When your friends begin to flatter you on how young you look, it's a sure sign you're getting old. Mark Twain. Our song for today is from Chicago. It was number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart in 1971, which is great. I mean, number 7 is a great achievement, and it was a very well-known song. I heard it many times. It was played, it wasn't performed by bands, because most bands couldn't perform this, seeing as they didn't have the keyboards with a good enough piano, usually. So, but they would, we would hear this played. I guess we heard, I'm trying to think where, but I know we heard it played many, many times, either for a dance or for some other reason. I think it must have been a dance. But it's from Chicago, from 1971, and it was first released in 1970 as a B-side. And then again as a B-side to a different song in 71. But it was written by James Pankow, a member of the band Chicago at the time, evidently. And it's called Color My World. Thank you. very beautiful song, which was very untypical or atypical for Chicago, because they typically had brass in their songs, trombone and so on. I think James Pankow was the trombonist, actually, in the band. I think I read this. Let's just look him up for a second here. Yeah, he's the trombonist. So, he was the trombonist at the time, and so who played the piano on this? I'm not sure, but we can look into that later. Perhaps thus far, from our Born and Raised article, chapter 2, paragraph 8, we have not resorted to any argument based on consensus, for the majority has been wrong, oftentimes. Even if we have the majority view, we can be wrong. But holding a minority view doesn't guarantee correctness. As Christians, we try to find the narrow path of life. We have been working our way back from 70 CE, starting with the 40 last years of events at the Second Temple, believing that the events of these years were affected by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in 30 CE, has seemed a reasonable explanation from a Christian perspective. We may now consider the prophecy of Daniel and periods of time related to the ministry of Jesus, which period looks to be about 3.5 years, or a half of a week of 7 years seen in the prophecy of Daniel. Quoting, "And he must keep the covenant in force for the many for 1 week, and at the half of the week he will cause sacrifice and gift offering to cease." Daniel 9:27, New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, 1984. There are 70 weeks that have been determined, as the prophecy begins at verse 24. Quote, "To finish transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to seal, anoint the most holy." By the way, we have some new videos online on the JW.org site. Each week can refer to 7 years, and a half week is then 3.5 years, reminiscent of or akin to Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 12 and 14, where the expression "a time and times and half a time" is determined to be 3.5 years. So a time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a time is just what it says, just what it purports to be. So 1 + 2 + 1/2 = 3.5. Or from Revelation 12 and 6, it's called 1260 days, which is 3.5 × 360 days. So the verses at Revelation 12, 14, and 12, 6 are correlated together because they're talking about the same period of time, and one expresses it as a time and times and half a time, and the other expresses it as 1,260 days. And the same idea, that is a time and times and half a time, is referred to at Daniel 7:25. In a different context, but that's this idea of the half week, which is going to be discussed further by us in this article a little later. So that's all for our study in the Born and Raised article for today. And now, what have we got? Oh, I was looking at Revelation 6. Yeah, it says the woman fled to the wilderness. They should feed her 1,260 days. And then verse 14. She is fed for a time and times and half a time away from the face of the serpent. verse 6 said they should feed her 1,260 days in verse, as I just mentioned, verse 6. All right, let's continue with our proverb for the day. Well, first of all, we can look at Daniel 7:25, actually, while we're on the subject. And he will speak even words against the Most High, talking about the one king that would rise up. And he will speak words even against the Most High, and he will harass continually the holy ones themselves of the Supreme One. And he will intend to change times and law, and they will be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. There's the expression right there. Same expression, but a different context, a different circumstance, different events entirely. So our proverb for today, little children, let one drink and forget one's poverty, and let one remember one's own trouble no more. Proverbs 31:7. Now, the thing I wanted to mention about this is that this doesn't mean that we are obligated to drink at any time, because it, of course, is given as a concession to those who cannot forget their poverty, whereas we might be able to forget our poverty without even drinking. So we can perhaps completely ignore this proverb. We don't have to drink at all. And that's what is being intended there. It's not saying that we're being commanded to drink something, such as alcohol, for example, or anything. We can drink water if we want. It's not saying even drink water. It's just saying let people drink. It appears to me the same idea is true of the command to be united. If we're being commanded to be united, that obviously can't be a command, because we're not going to be united with somebody with whom we disagree strongly in the event that we actually believe that we have Jehovah's viewpoint and that they are not up to our standard, nor to Jehovah's standard, actually, is the important point, because if we're seeking Jehovah's standard, then our standards will be as close as we can make them to Jehovah's standard. But if other people are not up to the same standard, we cannot unite with those people. So that's, again, the idea that commanding someone to be united is acceptable is not really a good idea. You can't command someone to be united. Even though when people are united, it is a blessing, as it says in Psalms 133. That's certainly true. Our reading for today, from Numbers 21. Now the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who dwelt in the Negeb, got to hear that Israel had come by the way of Atharim, and he began to fight with Israel and carry away some of them as captives. Consequently, Israel made a vow to Jehovah and said, "If you will without fail give this people into my hand, I shall also certainly devote their cities to destruction." So Jehovah listened to Israel's voice and gave the Canaanites over, and they devoted them and their cities to destruction. Hence they called the name of the place Hormah, which means place of destruction. While they continued trekking from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, the soul of the people began tiring out because of the way, and the people kept speaking against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread and no water, and our soul has come to abhor the contemptible bread," referring to the manna. So Jehovah sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they kept biting the people, so that many people of Israel died. Finally, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against Jehovah and against you. Intercede with Jehovah that he may remove the serpents from upon us." And Moses went interceding in behalf of the people. Then Jehovah said to Moses, "Make for yourself a fiery snake and place it upon a signal pole. And it must occur that when anyone has been bitten, he then has to look at it and so must keep alive." Moses at once made a serpent of copper and placed it upon the signal pole. And it did occur that if a serpent had bitten a man and he gazed at the copper serpent, he then kept alive. After that, the sons of Israel pulled away and encamped in Oboz. This copper serpent on a pole is also the modern-day symbol of medicine. If you see that, if you've noted this idea, if you looked at the medical symbol for medicine. After that, the sons of Israel pulled away and encamped in Oboth. Then they pulled away from Oboth and encamped in Ayah Abarim, in the wilderness that is toward the front of Moab, toward the rising of the sun. From there they pulled away and took up camping by the torrent valley of Zered. From there they pulled away and went camping in the region of the Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites. For the Arnon is the boundary of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. That is why it is said in the book of the wars of Jehovah, Vahab in Sufa and the torrent valleys of Arnon, and the mouth of the torrent valleys which has bent itself toward the seat of Ar, and has leaned against the border of Moab. Next from there, on to Beer. This is the well about which Jehovah said to Moses, gather the people and let me give them water. At that time, Israel proceeded to sing this song. Spring up, O well, respond to it, you people. A well, princes dug it. The nobles of the people excavated it with a commander's staff, with their own staffs. Then from the wilderness on to Matanah, and from Matanah on to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel on to Bamoth, and from Bamoth on to the valley that is in the field of Moab at the head of Pisgah, and it projects over toward the face of Jeshimon. Israel now sent messengers to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through your land. We shall not turn off into a field or a vineyard. We shall drink water of no well. On the king's road we shall march until we pass through your territory. And Sihon did not allow Israel to pass through his territory, but Sihon gathered all his people and went out to meet Israel in the wilderness and came to Jahaz and began fighting with Israel. At that, Israel struck him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, near the sons of Ammon, because Jazer is the border of the sons of Ammon. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel began dwelling in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and all its dependent towns. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon. He was the king of the Amorites, and it was he who fought with the king of Moab formerly and went taking all his land out of his hand as far as the Arnon. That is why the sayers of mock verses would say, come to Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and be proved firmly set up. For a fire has come out of Heshbon, a flame from the town of Sihon. It has consumed Ar of Moab, the owners of the high places of the Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You will certainly perish, O people of Chemosh. He will certainly give his sons as escaped ones and his daughters in the captivity to the king of the Amorite Sihon. So let us shoot at them. Heshbon will certainly perish up to Dibon, and the women up to Nophah, the men up to Medeba. And Israel began to dwell in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses sent some to spy on Jazer. So they captured its dependent towns and dispossessed the Amorites who were there. After that they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. At this, Og, the king of Bashan, came out to meet them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. Jehovah now said to Moses, do not be afraid of him, for into your hand I shall certainly give him and all his people and his land, and you must do to him just as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who used to dwell in Heshbon. So they went striking him and his sons and all his people, until there was no survivor remaining to him, and they went taking possession of his land. That's the end of Numbers 21. It's much easier to read when I'm not plugging my ears with earphones, because I can hear myself talk. And the microphone quality is potentially much better with this particular microphone, although the other one, the small Electret, wasn't bad at all. In fact, it was very, very good. But this is a studio quality microphone. I paid $1,500 for this microphone many years ago, 30 some years ago. I bought this microphone for $1,500. Now, if you buy the Neumann U87 AI microphone, which is the most popular Neumann microphone, and one of the better known and one of the best studio microphones that money can buy, that costs, in Canadian dollars, $6,600 today compared to $1,500 back a long time ago. But this was a lot cheaper. I think it's possible that it was $3,000, the Neumann, back in those days, or maybe it was a little more than that. But this was a big saving for me in terms of money, and a very high quality microphone as all the same. I mean, whether it's the same as a Neumann, I have no idea. I've never used a Neumann. Let's return or go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the congregation of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in union with Christ Jesus, called to be holy ones, together with all who everywhere are calling upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May you have undeserved kindness and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you in view of the undeserved kindness of God given to you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you have been enriched in him, in full ability to speak and in full knowledge, even as the witness about the Christ has been rendered firm among you, so that you do not fall short in any gift at all, while you are eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also make you firm to the end, that you may be open to no accusation in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into a sharing with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I exhort you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you should all speak in agreement, and that there should not be divisions among you, but that you may be fitly united in the same mind and in the same line of thought. For the disclosure was made to me about you, my brothers, by those of the house of Chloe, that dissensions exist among you. What I mean is this, that each one of you says, or that one of you says, I belong to Paul, but I to apostle, but I to a, I mean, in English we would say, we wouldn't say each one of us says, I belong to Paul, but I to Apollos. We would say, one of you says, I belong to Paul, but I to Apollos. But I to Cephas, but I to Christ. The Christ exists divided. Paul was not impaled for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I am thankful I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. As for the rest, I do not know whether I baptized anybody else. For Christ dispatched me not to go baptizing, but to go declaring the good news, not with wisdom of speech, that the torture stake of the Christ should not be made useless. For the speech about the torture stake is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is God's power. For it is written, I will make the wisdom of the wise men perish, and the intelligence of the intellectual man I will shove aside. Where is the wise man? We're the scribe. We're the debater of this system of things. Did not God make the wisdom of the world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not get to know God, God saw good through the foolishness of what is preached to save those believing. For both the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ impaled. To the Jews a cause for stumbling, but to the nations foolishness. However, to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because a foolish thing of God is wiser than men, and a weak thing of God is stronger than men. For you behold his calling of you, brothers, that not many wise in a fleshly way were called, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put the wise men to shame. And God chose the weak things of the world that he might put the strong things to shame. And God chose the ignoble things of the world, and the things looked down upon, the things that are not, that he might bring to nothing the things that are, in order that no flesh might boast in the sight of God. but it is due to him that you are in union with Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, also righteousness and sanctification and release by ransom, that it may be just as it is written, he that boasts, let him boast in Jehovah. That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've got 5 minutes remaining. I really want to talk about this microphone, I think, or this idea of using a studio mic instead of the Electret condenser attached to the earphones. It required a great deal of soldering skill, I would have to say, but only if you don't have any soldering skill would you have completely botched the attempt. But it was necessary to strip the wires, cut the cable to length, but I stripped one end first before I chose the length of the cable. But you could choose your cable length, strip one end of its outer sheath. I just used Belden cable, which was, it's a single conductor down the center with a braided shield on the outside, and then the insulator outside the shield, and inside the shield is the insulator for the single wire, which is a plasticky sort of mylar type. I'm not sure what material it is, like Teflon or something. I just learned recently Teflon causes immense amounts of cancer when they manufacture it, but I think even the material Teflon is very cancerous. It's a horrible thing. I just saw this on a very long documentary about the chemicals produced by the companies Dow Chemicals and DuPont, the two companies that are involved in producing these many different chemicals. And they continue to dump chemicals in rivers because it's cheaper for them to pay the fines and the lawsuits and settle out of court all these lawsuits that come against them for polluting the environment than it is for them to adopt safe practices in their manufacturing. It's a shocking reality with these chemical companies. So after I stripped the outer sheath insulation part, which for the Belden cable I have, I used number 10 wire gauge for the stripping tool. Stripped the outer one perfectly that way. Then I could use a sewing needle to separate the braided shield into strands, and then twist the strands together and then silver them with the soldering iron so they're covered with solder, just a very light coat. For that, I like to use a soldering iron that is a little bit bigger than the smallest electronic soldering iron, and it needs to produce a fair amount of heat, like, I'm not sure how many watts it's producing, but quite a lot of heat. Probably less than 50 watts for this particular thing, but a lot of heat, because you want maybe 30 watts, because you want to heat things up quickly and then just touch with the solder and have it completely coated with the solder. Even the larger things, such as the braided shield, when it's twisted together. Then I used a 14 gauge, or 16 gauge actually, the second time I did it, 16 gauge wire stripper to strip the insulation off the inner wire. And it depends how hard you press too. You might use a 14 gauge if you squeeze the pliers hard enough. But then the interconnector, I silvered that and I cut it to the right length so that when I was soldering it onto the connector, I can't disconnect the connector. I was going to disconnect the connector to show you, but if I did that, I'd lose my signal. So I can't show you it. I have another one, but I can't run and get it right now because we're out of time just about. But it's a little connector. It's the same as this. Yeah. I'll show you it if I can find it. Oh, I just touched something. I've ordered a new pop shield because this pop shield is disintegrating. It's from many years ago. So this is the connector, what it looks like. Where's the camera? Let's go up close. That's the connector style. So on the inside of that, this one cannot be disassembled, but the one I had is disassemblable at this end, so you can solder onto those different connectors to connect to these different places. So the signal of a microphone for a MacBook Pro is captured by the shield, which is the last ring here. The second ring, which is the middle ring of the three rings, is the ground, and the signal is carried by the shield, which is very different from any other system. So we have to build a custom connector for that. The first tip and the tip and the first ring are not used for anything unless you're taking a microphone, unless you're taking a speaker speakers. They're used for speakers, but if you're plugging in a microphone, you can't use those pins, so they're just unused. But I soldered the small wire onto pin number two, and then at the other end of the cable, I made that the ground wire for the quarter-inch foot plug at the other end. And I soldered the shield onto the shield at the microphone connector end. At this end, it was soldered to the shield. You've got to go shortly, but on the other end, the twisted shield was soldered to the signal. Is that true? Wait a minute. No, it was soldered to the shield at the microphone connector end, but at the other end it was soldered to the signal of the phone plug. In other words, the central pin, rather than or the tip. It was soldered to the tip connector, and then so the shield goes to the tip at the microphone at the other end, coming from the source, because the source always is carried on the tip, not on the shield. So that's how I did that. It's unusual because you don't usually solder the shield to the signal, but that's what I did at the other end where the microphone, the phone plug, quarter inch phone plug, is plugged into the preamp box that I built many years ago, and at the microphone connector end, by the same token, that we had to connect the small wire then to the ground, and it became the ground. So I love you. Have a wonderful day, if you can, if you wish. Let's put it that way. Also, I hope you have a wonderful day for whatever reason that may be. I hope you enjoy your day. But it is July 21st. We're using a new microphone setup today with the Beyer MC740N, and it's the year 2023, and it's 21:03 hours, now 21:04 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and this is Moppy, and this is Crow, Hammy the Crow, saying bye for now.